got lucky today. There was a tree stump remover outside grinding away, and I thought, they're going to be at it forever, and they've been cutting this tree down all day, and now I'm going to do my show, and there's this tree grinder. Then I thought, well, good, because then I could make the point, and believe you me, I would have, had the thing not stopped, that I would much rather hear a tree stump being ground to bits and removed than the church bells. But the tree stump is gone. May it rest in peace. And Kelly was sad today that the tree got cut down. It is sad, but I had to remind her that trees don't have souls. They don't feel anything. And it's the same as cutting the grass. I said, are you sad when you cut the grass? She said, yeah, a little bit. And I'm going, okay, what am I going to do? At that point, what am I going to do? But no, it is sad to see a giant, wonderful thing go down. Oh, then they compared, scripture compared Nebuchadnezzar to an oak tree, right? Yes, all the high and mighty, right? The trees come across that way, high and mighty. They don't feel that way because they have no feelings. They feel no pain. No pain, no gain, no nothing. They're trees. It's glorified grass. It's a giant blade of grass, kind of like, same principle. No soul, doesn't roam, doesn't move, doesn't have feelings. So that should help you when you trim your shrubbery. You know, you take your hedge trimmers, no screaming going on. I didn't hear any groans of pain coming from the tree down here. Now, the beasts go from east to west. There's an important word in Daniel, verse 4 of chapter 7, Daniel 7, 4, and you will not find this word translated this way anywhere else in any other Bible on the planet Earth, but it should be. I'm going to show you the reasoning behind it and why it's important. It's the Hebrew, it's actually Chaldean, because Daniel is written in Chaldean, not Hebrew. It's the stem QDM, that's the stem here, of the word translated in Daniel 7:4, the eastern animal is a lioness. This is the word that opens up the vein of truth, because every other translation has first. The first animal was a lioness. Now, the stem is used of precedence. It is sometimes translated first, other times it is translated east. And it is used in the Chaldean and Hebrew language, most of all, to denote precedence. It's a stem in the word kodaham. By the way, I don't know how to pronounce QDM. That'd be my guess. Then you have Kadakam, which is precedence, and east, there's a couple more words there that I'm not going to attempt. And this probably arises, you know, that the Chaldean and Hebrew language is very picturesque, and it probably arises from the fact that the country east of us precedes us into the light of day. It's the first, the light of day. So they're thinking of the sun as far as first. The first land that the sun would strike. It sounds like a stretch, but it's really not. Hang in there with me. The time does not seem to be the important element here, as the first beast and the next beast and the third beast. It was important in Nebuchadnezzar's image. One part of the image was a world kingdom. It was superseded in time by another part of the image, and that was another world kingdom. But here, it's the order or the arrangement that seems to be important, how they are arranged, not when they come on the scene. So, even better, this could have been translated the foremost animal, because that's the really literal meaning in the Hebrew and Greek, precedence, the foremost. And it's in order, not in time. Now, the same is true in English with the word rendered first in the Authorized Version. Now, I'm going to go to a couple other verses here besides the one we started with, verse 4 of chapter 7. Let's go to a couple more places where the same stem is used. I'm in verse 8. And the beasts have already appeared to Daniel. Contemplating am I the horns, and lo, another bit of horn comes up among them, and three of the eastern horns are felled to stumps before it. Eastern makes more sense here. The eastern horns, three of the foremost horns, three of the first horns, I should say. The King James has the first and the first beast, three of the first horns. But when you make this eastern, which to a Chaldean, I'm going to read an important sentence here. This will help you understand. In east and foremost were the same thing to a Chaldean. Thus the language. I'm quoting from A.E. Nock here in his book, Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel. East and foremost, that is the first, were the same thing to a Chaldean because they thought spatially. And this has to do with space or order, not time. Where these beasts are arranged in order, and in space, not time. This one, then this one, then this one. Daniel is seeing them come from east to west, which is also the way the Hebrew and Chaldean language is written. It goes from right to left rather than left to right as we write our sentences in English. And again, the language is very picturesque. For instance, I was reading somewhere where the Hebrew word for bottle is like GLB, glub, or something. It sounds like the noise a bottle makes when you pour out of it. So it's a very picturesque language. And thus also with the eastern beast. A great realm of truth is opened up, especially as we consider that the fourth beast looks like a Western confederation of 10 nations. And the last beast is three times called the fourth. And it's not true as to time. This is important. Listen to this. The last beast is three times called the fourth beast, and it's not true as to time, because as I showed you earlier, these beasts exist contemporaneously, simultaneously. So how can it be true in time when they're all existing? It's the order that's important here. And this order brings out a huge realm of truth, and we ought to read these from right to left. There's another place where the word Eastern is used, the same stem, QDM, and that is in verse 23 of chapter 7. So he speaks again to me, the fourth animal, it is the fourth kingdom being on the earth that is diverse from all three kingdoms. She will devour the entire earth and thresh it and pulverize it. The 10 horns from her kingdom are 10 kings who will rise, and another one will rise after them. He is diverse from the Eastern. And these religions, this is where religion and politics start to line up. The religions act as kingdoms. They are ruled over and they have political power. And we see in the world today that the politicians, or should I say, the religions are trying more and more, especially Christianity, to take control of politics. And we always have religious issues in play during elections, moral issues that really should not be decided upon by governments. Government should be, I believe, minimalist, and then each in their own heart, their own spirit. Of course, you still want to outlaw murder, but I'm talking generally, you don't want the government to decide what religion is. Certain religions have different qualms about what they can and can't do. If you're a Buddhist, you're not allowed to even step on bugs. If you're a Christian, you can buy raids, take care of them wholesale. Or you can drop poison from airplanes, you know, crop dusting. So you'd never see Buddhist crop dusters. Have you ever seen a Buddhist crop duster? I've never seen one. And there's a reason for that, because they can't kill. But there shouldn't be a government that would put forward the the rules and regulations, morally speaking, of a religion. But this is exactly what we see Islam trying to do, isn't it? They're trying to make their brand of law, which is Sharia law, which is a religious law. They're trying to bring that and govern it that way. Govern that way. They're going to go. They want to govern people and make everybody to obey their religion. And when if you think Christianity is above this, they're not, because the Pope is a political guy. He's always considered in the politics of the world. It's pathetic, but it's a prostitution. Really horrible love affair. It's an incestuous, not an incestuous, but a not an adulterous either. I'll call it sickening love affair between religion and politics. And this is what is going to happen when we get into the later chapters of the unveiling. We are going to see Babylon and Jerusalem. These are the two cities in play at the end. Babylon being the financial capital of the world and the ruling capital of the world, and Jerusalem is always the spiritual capital. But in the vision John saw, he saw the prostitute joining forces with the wild beast. And it was Israel, who was supposed to be a spiritual nation, aligning herself, making a pact with Babylon, with the financial capital. So now Israel, although she's supposed to be a very spiritual, God-centered religion, she is not content to wait for Christ, so she wants to take the reins of government, and this she does. So this word, remember, QDM, this stem, it can be rendered Eastern. King James, most versions, all other versions, render it the first, maybe some the foremost. I haven't looked at every single version here. But to a Chaldean, and this language was written in Chaldean, Eastern and foremost are the same because of the way the sun rises from east to west. And when we make this word, you don't have to work hard to make it, because it is a legitimate alternate translation. When you make it Eastern, then suddenly a huge vein of truth opens up that we have not seen before. So tomorrow we're going to look at the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7 in relation to the planet Earth. I touched on this earlier. Now we're getting into specifics. And then we will look at each individual beast, and we will see how these join forces together in the last 3.5 months of this eon to become the wild beast.